Ricky Ticky Tavi.
Where are you at on that?
I think I enjoyed it. I've read it. It was a short story, right? I think I read that.
Who were you pulling for? Were you pulling for the cobra or the mongoose?
I'm pulling for the mongoose.
Yeah, all day long. Yep. Yep. I'm with you there.
Cobra is a fascinating creature. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. The mongoose, though, reminds me of a black-footed ferret. You know? Keystone species. The black-footed ferret. Cheers to the black-footed ferret. Long may he live.
Long
Give
may
me
he
a clinker.
Here, clinker. To the black-footed ferret.
Michael J. Hart's cool word of the day. The all-time favorite radio segment of all time.
Alacrity.
Use it in a sentence.
I can't.
Spell it. Did you just make it up?
No, it is a word. A-L-A-C-R-I-T-Y. Alacrity.
Hmm. And this word means what?
It has something to do with, like, the, I think, like, the polarity of, like, battery fluid or something like that.
How often do you use a word and you don't understand it fully, but you use it in a conversation? How often are you doing that?
Oh, no, I was way off, dude. Yep. I was way off.
Alacrity. What's the real meaning?
It's a noun. Brisk and cheerful readiness.
Oh, goodness. So it had nothing to do with battery acid. Nope. Or what'd
nope.
you say?
Nope.
Battery fluid.
I was thinking alkaline. Oh. I was thinking alkaline. That's what I was thinking. She accepted the invitation with alacrity.
With battery acid.
She
acidic
and cheerful.
And
there, I just had to pick a word. I had to dig deep for that one. I didn't even know what it meant.
Today, my word is tenuous.
That's a good one. Here's my thing with vocabulary, though. Sometimes you get a little, you know, you get a little suspect. But I like a good vocab word. Like when I read, for example, I will underline a word I don't know and then go back and look it up. And then I will try in the next day or two to work it into a conversation to try to remember it.
Yesterday, my word was betwixt. Did you know that? Did I tell you that?
No.
We've never done this before. We've never had cool words of the day. This is new.
I did use a word recently that someone called me out on, but I did know what it meant. Mm. I used the word, and I heard this many, many years ago, and I've used it several times, but I don't think it gets used that often. Propinquity.
Mm-hmm.
Propinquity.
I would have a real problem with that if I heard somebody use that word on me in a meeting, though.
You would have a problem with it?
Whoever said it, I would say, I don't think you really know what that means. I certainly don't. But
I actually do know what that one means, though.
Battery and fluid?
No. Nearness of space and time.
Propinquity. How many syllables? It's a five-syllable word.
Yeah. Polysyllabic, I like to say. Yeah. There's monosyllabic words and then polysyllabic words.
Did you use it in a conversation where you were actually trying to communicate an idea?
Like there are a few of those words that I learned so long ago that they roll off the tongue casually for me.
Betwixt. Here's how I came up with that one, though. I was writing an email that was very boring. I don't love writing emails, but I really don't like writing a long email. So I'm writing short emails, and sometimes I just notice how boring an email is. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the word between on there, and I changed it out, and I threw in the word
betwixt,
and it was just a little joke to spice it up.
Yep.
But that's it. Thank you for listening to the popular computer radio segment, Michael J. Hart IV's cool word of the day. Too long don't say. I think you should say that before, like, you use a word like propinquity.
I disagree with that. That word is magnanimous.
If somebody puts that word, propinquity, what'd you say?
Propinquity. You
got it. Propinquity.
You're gonna, now you know it. Nearness of space and time.
Nearness of space and time.
Yep.
A heterotopia. If somebody throws that word
heterotopia
into an email, you know what I'm doing?
Heterotopia. Isn't that a Disney movie?
I'm closing my computer and I'm throwing it out the window.
That seems like a really
I don't care
big,
who it is. No.
I mean, you're going, you're taking, it's way
I'm
too big of a reaction.
Down, I'm slamming down my laptop. I'm throwing it away. I'm walking out the door. Too long, don't say.
TLDS.
Betwixt was my word yesterday. Today, it's tenuous.
You say you don't like vocab words, but you do.
I didn't say I don't like vocab words. I don't like a five-syllable word in an email that's three sentences long.
What if it's just one big vocab word?
You should never throw a five-syllable word into an email that has less than five sentences. Can we agree on that?
Okay.
Can we agree on that?
I think we can.
That's a rule.
So the number of sentences...
Can we make a rule? Are you prepared?
The number of sentences, if there for as many sentences in an email, you can have one word with that many syllables. So a three sentence email.
No, that's not what I said.
No, I'm adjusting it a little bit. So if
that's not the rule.
If it's a three sentence deal, you can have a polysyllabic word, but it can only be three syllables.
This is more about what not to have.
Tenuous is three syllables. You could use that in a three sentence email.
You could throw that into a three sentence email.
But not a two sentence.
No.
No. Now you've gone too far.
If you throw a four or five syllable word into a three sentence email, there's a good chance, and I don't care who the email is to. It might not even be to me.
You slam their computer.
I happen to see it on somebody else's computer. I'm taking that computer, and I'm throwing it in the garbage.
I close it out the window.
Are you prepared? Here and now, on the Differentiated Business Podcast with Michael J. Hart IV and Theodore J. Heron I, are you prepared to make this rule, to set this rule in stone?
I can't. I can't because I'll accidentally break the rule and I don't want you to throw my computer out
the
window.
When I say stone, I mean...
You mean obsidian. Obsidian.
I mean,
that's four syllables. Obsidian.
Welcome to our computer radio program.
Worldwide.
The Differentiated Business Podcast with Michael J. Hart IV and Theodore J. Heron I. I thought I'd read a Thanksgiving poem. Gaynor Johnson, co-founder of the Sioux River Folk Festival, sends me letters, and then I send him letters. Sometimes he sends me art. Sometimes he sends me Far Side comics. Sometimes he sends me original poetry. Do you have any friends that you send poems to?
No.
What's stopping
Actually,
you?
Actually, my friends at the Sioux Empire Fair, every year I send them a haiku.
That's true. You enter that into the poetry competition.
Yep.
Best finish at the Sioux Empire Fair poetry competition. Have you ever gotten a blue ribbon?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. What do you got here?
One of the things I love most about running a differentiated business is that you make friends with a lot of differentiated people. So here it is then. From a letter he sent earlier this week... An original poem titled, Do You Turkey Trot or Not? By Gaynor, St. Louis, Missouri, Johnson. When it's late November and not hot, that's when the turkeys do their trot. Described by my Webster's Dictionary as a dance that's very light and airy. These large birds with a spreading tail were discovered along the Bozeman Trail back in the year 1862 by Sir Wilbur Pigeon and his son Drew. They were the first Caucasians to ever see these colorful birds dance with wild, abandoned glee, and in their journals they did write, "These trotting turkeys brought us much delight." 'Twas almost the time of old Thanksgiving, that holy day that goes back to the beginning with spiritual and mystical qualities that involved trotting and talking trees. Those turkeys believed trees gave them certain powers to help them build their magnificent golden towers. This shrine was where the turkeys prayed for peace, prosperity, and better days. Just when did eating turkey on this holy day began is almost completely unknown to the modern man. It may have started during the Civil War, according to the writings of Sally Alice Gore. She lived along the She lived along the Hattawatchie River near Fort Plimpton and was a caregiver. She also cooked for the troops around Hemington, Tennessee, the closest town. She wrote that the natives would always kill one special turkey that they kept on Old Turkey Trot Hill. And this one turkey would magically feed a multitude and bring good luck and well-being to all who chewed. There are no facts to support Gore's claims, but this Thanksgiving Day ritual still remains, so if you eat turkey or you do not, please remember to give to those who have not, and be thankful. We are all alive and here, and the next time you gaze into a mirror, imagine you're a turkey and you're trotting as you sing that old song, "A wise man is always plotting." Not for evil or selfish reasons, but for the betterment of all mankind. The end. An original poem by my friend Gaynor St. Louis, Missouri Johnson, down there in the Grand Valley. Do you turkey trot or not? If you would like to submit an original poem to the Differentiated Business Program, simply write it on a note card and send it in an envelope to Fresh Produce LLC, 400 North Main Avenue, Suite 100, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57104. Attention, Michael J. Hart IV. I want to read a four-syllable word when it's appropriate. There it is.
Yeah, but that's totally your opinion.